السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Ulema Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. I have with me Murana Ismail Panos from Azad. Murana, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, Murana?
Alhamdulillah, very, very well, Murana. Jazakallah for taking our time. You have a very busy schedule. You're always busy. Allah reward you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant yourself and the family ni'ma al-badal, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khairah.
Morana, we're discussing your father today. Morana's father's name?
My father's name is Hafiz Ibrahim Tandoor, rahimahullah.
Morana, in terms of your father, you want to give us a brief family background with regards to him?
My father's father's name was Muhammad.
Muhammad.
They were four brothers. My grandfather, then my dada, his name was Muhammad.
Right.
And he had another brother by the name of Musa. He had another brother by the name of Ismail. And he had another brother by the name of Ahmed.
See.
Muhammad was my father, and my father got one more brother, Rashid Ahmed. Hafiz Rashid Ahmed is in Medina, is residing in Medina to Munawara. And he's got two sisters. That is Amina Patel and Fatima Mia. Fatima Mia is married to Maulana Yusuf Mia in Mayfair.
Okay, mashallah.
And Amina Patel was married to late Hassan. What's his name?
Okay, not a problem, Maulana.
Okay.
So, Maulana's father and then come from that background of the Pandor. Maulana name family also to Maulana Ibrahim Pandor and then from Ellsberg, Maulana?
Yeah. No, Hassan Patel. Hassan Patel, Hassan Patel was an optician. He was my father's sister. Amina was married to him and he passed away.
Okay.
We're still living, Amina and my two friends, that is Amina and Fatima Foyd, they're still living. And now my father's uncles, that means from his father's name was Muhammad, from his father's brother, Ismail, was the other Pandor, Mufti Suleiman Pandor, and Maulana Yusuf Pandor, and Maulana Ibrahim Pandor. They all come from that, that is my father's cousins. My father's, that means Chacha's children. And then from the other, my grandfather's other brother, Musa, from him is Mufti Zakaria Pandor in them. From the Mona Musa Pandor, they are from that lineage.
The other brother.
Yeah. And my grandfather, my grandfather's other brother, Ahmed, from him is that Hafiz Umar Pandor, who is staying in Ellsberg, and Abdullah Pandor.
Okay.
That lineage comes from there.
So
my grandfather, they were four brothers. And that is how we are related to Mufti Suleiman Pandor. And all of them, all the brothers, and that means they and my father are all kakabais, or you say, cousins.
Cousins. You're listening to the Ulema Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. It's an open line. You can give us a call with your interactions with Hafiz Ibrahim Pandor, who used to be based in Newtown in that area. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could send me a WhatsApp or a text on the number 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we will read your messages on air. I just want to read a message quickly out from one of the grandchildren of Havisab. She says that my grandfather was a very humorous and yet an amazingly straightforward person that kept you on your feet all the time. Part of his qualities were that he loved helping people. Mano, with regards to your father, his initial stages of what we would call Taaleem, or then learning this art of Taoist work in the very initial stages. You want to share some of that information with us?
Yes, okay. What I want to inform you, my father was born in 1936.
Okay.
So he was, when he passed away, around about 79 years old.
Okay.
So at the age of 7 or 8, he was sent to India.
Okay.
He was sent to Dabil, and they asked him to become a Hafiz al-Quran. But I think initially he studied the Gujarati course and he became a Gujarati teacher.
Okay.
And my grandfather told him, we sent you to do Hifz. So he started Hifz in Dabil, but he did not complete in Dabil. He went to Randir and then he went to Taraj. He completed his Hifz in Taraj. And
okay.
That means after he left Dabil, he went to Randir, in Taraj he completed. And from there he went to Deoband.
Okay.
And then he completed his Hifz in Taraj, then went to Deoband, and then he stayed 2 years in Deoband.
Okay.
In Deoband, he stayed with that Maulana Yusuf Pandor, and he had quite a few friends in Deoband.
Right,
in
right.
Deoband, his friends were Maulana Yusuf Munya too, Maulana Abbas Ali Jina, Maulana
right, right.
Abdul Khalik Mullah. These were all his friends that were there with him in Deoband.
Okay.
And he stayed in Deoband, and there he did 2 years. He did Urdu and Farsi. He mastered Urdu and Farsi. He used to speak very, very fluent Urdu and very well. He loved Urdu poetry and even Farsi. He used to love Farsi too. And when he was in Deoband, that's the time he was very, very close. He became bear to Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni, rahimullah.
Subhanallah.
And then he used to be very close. He and Maulana Asad Madni Rahimullah were very close friends.
Okay.
And at that time, his uncle, Maulana Bayezid, was also there, Rahimullah.
Ji.
Yes. So he stayed there and became bi'at to Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahimullah. And he stayed there for the 2 years. And then he returned to South Africa. When he returned to South Africa, he decided he wanted to go to for Hajj, and he wanted to go to Saudi for revision of the Quran and all of it. So he didn't have money, so he worked, I think, for 2 years he worked. And he was selling, you know, those days he used to make the jinnah topis. He sold the jinnah topis, he made some money, and then he left for Saudi. And he used to explain to us that, you know, if you have that small planes and it just stops in nearly every country, every few hundred kilometers it stops. And they didn't have no chairs, they had benches.
Allah.
And then even from the door you could see the floor. It never used to be very high. You could even see the trees. You go past the trees. So that is what he used to explain. And it took a few days to reach Saudi. When he reached Saudi, then there was, now he didn't know anyone there. There was a person by the name of Yahya Kabuli. Yahya Kabuli. Says Yahya Kabuli saw him, that this person, small child, this boy is here, not small child, he must have been around about 16, 17, and looked at him and said that this young boy got nowhere to stay. He told him, listen, you come and stay at my house, I am making you my son.
Allahu Akbar.
I am making you my son. So he became, my father would stay at his house, and then he even arranged some qari. My father said, no, I came here to learn some Quran too. I came to learn, make Hajj also. And so he arranged some qari, and the qari took a few weeks for him to just learn Surah, just to learn the A'udhu and Bismillah. You know, like the Qur'an. So my father then decided and then told him, I want to go to Medina. I want to go to Medina, and no matter what happens, I want to go and study there. So he made some arrangements for my father. He told my father, you want a very luxury bus, or you want an ordinary bus? He said, no, I'll take an ordinary bus. When he took an ordinary bus, it took him a few days to go to Medina. My father used to say that his bus used to travel maybe about 70, 80 kilometers and stop the bus, and then he used to sleep and relax under the bus.
Allah.
And it took him a few days to go to Medina. When he went to Medina to Munawara, when he reached Medina to Munawara, he decided now he wanted to do Hifz. So he went to Qari, he wanted to do revision of the Quran. So he went to Qari Qadir Jan Bukhari, rahimullah. who used to teach in Medina to Munawwara. He had his own madrasa there. So he went to him and told him that I want to do Quran revision. So he told him, he said, there's no place for you. There's no place. You can see my class is full and there's no place to stay. Then my father said, no, I want to study. Then he said, okay, there's one place under the staircase. If you're prepared to stay there, sleep there and everything under the staircase, then you can stay here. So my father accepted and he stayed under the staircase. And that is where he started doing revision. So my father asked him permission for two things. One is to perform salah in the haram. And secondly is to be in the company of Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Rahimahullah. He accepted it. My father went there and he used to do the revision by Qari, Qari Jahan Bukhari Rahimahullah. And he learned his Quran very well. He was doing revision and he used to tell us for 6 months he used to do one Quran a day.
Allahu Akbar.
One Quran a day. Alhamdulillah, he was a lover of the Quran. He loved the Quran very, very much. Even in the Ramadan al-Mubarak, that Qari Sahib said that everyone must say, okay, get two people and read Nafal Salah, that is after Taraweeh.
And he
came to my father, he told my father, he gave everyone two partners. He told my father, who's going to be your partner? He said, no, anyone you can bring. He said, there's a Hindi, Chindi, what are you going to read? There's a Hindi, Chindi, they read one para and you get four people to read one para.
South
Africans. He said, they read one para and they get four people to read one para. He said, there's a Hindi, Chindi, what are you going to read? So he said that, so my father said, okay, never mind, get anyone, I'll read. So he read the first night, Nafal Salah, and the next night, the next morning, he asked that, all the reciters, how much you read. He asked my father said, ask the person who heard. He asked the son, how much did my father read? My father said, he said he read 10 paras. He says, impossible. He said, he read 10 paras. He says, impossible. And he read the first salah by the room of Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. Right by the entrance of that house. He told me he used to read his nafal salahs there. He read his whole Quran there. And then the next night, the Qari Sahib himself decided, no, let me listen. He said, 10 paras. The next night, he read again 10 paras. And the third night, even it was mentioned that Maulana Badri Alam Sahib came and heard. And I said, so this is how he used to read his Quran. He was a lover of the Quran. He loved the Quran and he used to read, one Quran a day, every day. Then one day, what happened? My grandfather, Rahimullah, that is Muhammad, came there. My dada went there, and then he told my father to read revision to me. My father said that no, he read one Quran. My grandfather wanted him to read half a para and one para. Where is he going to read half a para and one para? So he didn't read. So after a few days, he came to this Qari Qadir Jan, Rahimullah, he came to the Ustad and said that, you know, I've got a small complaint about your student. This, I'm telling my son he must read to me, he doesn't want to read to me. So my father was eating and he took, put the plate away and he told him read.
Lord.
And he says, tell your father, doesn't say stop, don't stop. And he continued reading till it was maybe just the last para or a portion of the last para left. Then the Ustad said, stop, we'll complete it tomorrow.
Oh,
and the next day he called a few other ulama, Maulana Badri Alam Sahib and all of it, and then they had a da'wat and he told him to complete. And when he was completing, and he made very, very, very few mistakes. Only when he read Surah An-Nas, couldn't read anything. Every verse of Surah An-Nas, they were repeating, they were correcting him. Every verse of Surah An-Nas. So after he completed even, they made a dua and everything, and then he went to Maulana Badr Alam Sahib because he was spirit to him. So he asked Maulana Badr Alam Sahib that, why, I don't know how come I couldn't read Surah An-Nas. So Maulana Badr Alam Sahib told him that this is the karamat of the Quran, that no one must see, I know my Quran so well that I can read it at any time. InshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes tests a person and makes them do, makes this happen that you can't read the last surah. But he was back to Maulana Hussein ibn Ahmad Bani rahimullah, and then he used to go to the majlis of Maulana Badr Alam Sahib rahimullah. Maulana Badr Alam Sahib rahimullah tested him few things, like for example, first and foremost, when he wanted to become a khadim of Maulana Badr Alam Sahib, Maulana Badr Alam Sahib told him that a certain type of a stone, you have to grind it, it was for some medication, you have to grind it, and that is what he's going to use for medication. He asked him to do that. So he started doing it, and he grinded it so much that the stone on which he was grinding, that got finished.
Allah.
But the Alam Sahib was so happy with him, and he took him in. And then Maulana Badr Alam Sahib, afterwards he started asking that who will clean the toilets. I remember my father saying, he was asking, who will clean the toilets? So my father said he will clean the toilet. So he was cleaning the toilet. Then after this whole incident of this Quran, Maulana Badr Alam Sahib came to my father and said, you're a hafiz of Quran, how can you clean the toilets? You can't clean the toilets. And gave that work to someone else. But then at that time, he loved my father a lot. He was very, very, my father became very close to him, and he called him all the time, and he used to be khidmat for him. And then one day he asked my father, have you performed salah in the Kaaba?
Allah.
My father said that, no, I haven't performed salah in a Kaaba. So after a few days he told my father that I think you should go for Umrah today.
Subhanallah.
So my father said, okay, he went, he found a driver, he told the driver, okay, at night, it was at night, he told him that I want to reach there by Fajr. The driver said, okay, and he started driving very, very, very fast. My father said, oh, this person here, he's going to make an accident. My father said, okay, you don't have to complete in, go there by Fajr, even if it's past Fajr, it's fine. He said, no, Wahid Kalam, this is Wahid Kalam, I am going to make sure you reach there, Fajr. While driving, they caught him speeding. They even lashed him. There, those days they used to lash them. They don't give you no tickets. The minute you are caught speeding, they put you over the bonnet and they lash you a few lashes.
Allah.
They lashed him also, and then he reached Mecca. When he reached Mecca, he made his Umrah after Fajr and he was sleeping. When he was sleeping, Maulana Badr Alam Sahib, Rahimullah, came in his dream and said that, you came here to sleep or you came here to read Salah in the Kaaba? Go, the door is open. And my father opened his eyes, he rushed, he went there, he saw someone, or he used to stand with the cans. He gave him some money, and he made wudu, and he told him, pour that whole zamzam can on him. He poured the whole zamzam can. When he reached the door, the Kaaba was open.
Allah.
He went, the guard was there, so he put his hand out, and the guard pulled his hand in, and he went into the Kaaba, and he performed Salah. And before he left, Maulana Badr Alam Sahib told him, if you go to the Kaaba, there'll be a pillar here, you must perform Salah. So as whatever Maulana Badr Alam Sahib, Rahimullah, told him, when he went to the Kaaba and he performed Salah there. Now that was the same further morning. And then after that, after he performed Salah and everything, and then as soon as he walked in after that, they closed the door. And after he performed the Salah, when he came out, they closed the door. And then he said he's taking the next taxi back to Medina. His work is done. He had performed his Umrah, he had performed his Salah in the Kaaba, and he's going to Medina to Munawwara. Then he took a taxi and he went back to Medina to Munawwara. Manana Badr Alam Sahib Rahimullah met him and asked him that, how was your Salah in the Kaaba? He didn't ask you, did you perform? So how was your Salah in the Kaaba? What did you ask for? He said, I was so blank, I didn't know what to ask. I asked for halal rosy and one, two other things he mentioned. Said that is what he had asked for. Then Muhammad Alan Sam was very close to him, then telling him that I want you to write a letter to your Sheikh, Muhammad Hussein Ahmad Mani Rahimullah, ask him permission that I want you to become bi'at under me. So my father wrote a letter to Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Mani Rahimullah asking him permission, and he gave permission, and then Mawlana Badr Alam Sahib Rahimullah took him bi'at under him. So my father became bi'at under Mawlana Badr Alam Sahib. He loved my father very, very, very much all the time, and he even when my father stayed with him for about 2 years. There were a few mias and a few bulbulias and a few people he said that were with them, but he was very, very close to my father. Even when my father left, he gave him about four of his kurtas. He gave him one musalla. He gave him two pens, the pens that he wrote Tarjuman Sunnah.
Allahu Akbar.
He even gave the pens to my father. And he gave him a gift of Amari Qurani, and he told him you can write Ta'weezes. This is what he gave my father, the gift, and that is where my father came back here. But even another incident took place where my father, Mawlana Badr Alam Sahib, asked my father, did you perform Hajj? He said, yes, I performed Hajj. He said, how? He said, my father gave me money and I performed the Hajj. So Mawlana Badr Alam Sahib told him, perform Hajj again.
Allahu Akbar.
So he asked you of the ulama there. The ulama say your Hajj is done. He's saying you are so confused that my Sheikh is saying my Hajj is not done. And here the ulama say, all the ulama say, yeah, the Hajj is done. He went to the Rozay Mubarak. When he went to the Rozay Mubarak, and he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you make Faisla now. What is right? Is my Hajj done? My Sheikh is saying this. And then he went to get sleep that night. The night he slept, he saw a tall man with a sword running behind him. And he's running for his life. And he ran for his life. And he woke up in that state. And he went to his Sheikh. He told his Sheikh. So his Sheikh told him, what did you say? What did you... Did you say something about the Rosary? He said, I said this. And I said, yeah. He said, why did you have to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You should have just asked me. I would have explained to you. And he said, that was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The man with a sword behind you. So his Sheikh explained to him that your father gave you money to perform the Hajj. He didn't tell you this is your money. Because Hajj becomes farz once you own the money. He gave you money to perform the Hajj, so your Hajj is not completed yet because it's nafil. So yeah, the Sheikh told him that I wanted you to perform your first Hajj. That's the reason why I told you this. That if your parents give you money, then you must become the owner of that money. Once you become the owner of that money, and then once Hajj becomes first, then you can go and perform the Hajj. So this is what he had told him.
SubhanAllah. Respected listeners, you're listening to the Ulama Profile. We have online with us one of our panel from Mazadwell. And we are discussing and we are profiling Hafiz Ibrahim Pandor. We have on the line with us, Mawlana is famously known, Hakim Jalil Pandor. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Mawlana, jazakallah for taking out your time and joining us this evening. Mawlana, your interactions with your father, and what can you share with the listeners this evening?
Mawlana, my brother, I've appointed my brother as the spokesperson for the family.
We just want, Mona, all we want from your side, what was your relationship and what was a thing or two that you learned from your father that we could perhaps take some inspiration from?
Okay, I've been I'm the baby of the family.
MashaAllah.
From amongst the sons. I've got only a sister that's younger than me.
All right.
But with my father, we spent 16 or 15 years together working from one office.
Gee.
All right. Our interactions were too many to mention. But the most important thing that I've learned from him is that, you know what, get up early, do your work with full sincerity, all right, and be there to make the khidmat of the people. You know, and I remember my father never used to have a book. It was an ongoing discussion between the two of us. That take an appointment, write it down, so you know that you don't get an excess amount of people.
Right.
He needed to take it easy. And he always said no. He says, it's not my habit, I'm not going to do it. And he never ever had an appointment book. All right? And sometimes, I know my father used to wake up before Fajr. Right? Fajr time, after Fajr, he used to have a cup of tea, maybe a couple of biscuits. He being a diabetic, heart patient, and everything. And then early in the morning, he used to go down. And he used to come back only lunch, home only lunchtime.
Right.
Now, any doctor will tell you for a diabetic, that's not good. But he couldn't tell any patient no. And anybody that came, unless he was really tired, unless he wasn't feeling well, he would tell the patient, you know what, please go, I'm not feeling well, I'm tired, etc. But if a person comes there, Malana, we don't have appointment, but we're here. He said, okay, sir, we'll see what we can do. And he helped as many people as he could. This was his one habit. He never ever, very seldom he told somebody no.
Mawlana, if there's one thing that you would take out from the life of your father, as a father, what is it that you would like to share with the listeners this evening?
Who are you asking me?
So Mawlana, we'll come back to you. Let's ask Mawlana Jalil and then inshallah, we'll come back to you.
From a fatherly perspective, one is that he was always there to advise us.
Whenever
I needed an advice, I used to go to him and ask him something. Yes, he would advise me. Tell me, do this, like this. And he, as sons, even though we were grown up, he always kept a check on what we were doing and how we were doing it.
Right?
And my better half, my wife always mentioned it. That if my car got a bit old, my father used to tell me, you know what, it's time to change. Or if the thing is a bit old, it's a bit broken, he used to come and tell me, that needs to be changed, go and do it now. So he used to keep a check even on the small things. This is your tarbiyah, you need to be doing this. This is how it's supposed to be done. All right? And this is how he carried on. If anything needed to be done, or any advice, any guidance needed, yes, my father was there and he gave it to us.
SubhanAllah. Mawlana, Jazakallah so much for your time this evening. Much appreciated, Mawajale.
Jazakallah
so much. Mawlana Pandu, Mawlana Sahib, coming back to you, and we've discussed quite a bit with regards to it. I just want to give the listeners, we're discussing tonight Mawlana Hafiz Ibrahim Pandor, and we are speaking with regards to him, obviously his lifestyle and what he has done and what he has achieved, etc. Just a few, he was born in 1936. He lived for approximately 79 years. He had four brothers with him. Some of the brothers in
he had two brothers.
His father had four brothers. From there was Mufti Suleiman and all of that, who's the first cousins to Havisab that we are discussing this evening. He went and he studied in Taraj. He also studied the first 2 years in Darul Uloom Deoband with friends like Maulana Yusuf Pandor, Maulana Mullah, Maulana Jina. He was a lover of poetry. He was bad and he was had his spiritual mentorship from Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni, rahimahullah. He went for Hajj. And also, he stayed in Medina Munawwara and Makkah Mukarrama for some time. He would do door, and at the time, for 6 months, he would read an entire Quran Sharif a day, subhanallah. He was also blessed with regards to reading Salah in the Kaaba Sharif itself, and this was the blessings of his Asatira. And also, Mawlana thereafter returned after being given many a hadiah from Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a pen, the A'mal, a Quran, the book whereby Mawlana could write Tawiz, as well as a few other memorabilia. Mawlana, when he returned from Medina Munawwara, coming to South Africa, what was then the next part of your father's life, Mawlana?
The first thing my father did was he got married. That's
okay.
The first thing he did. It was in 1958 he got married.
Yes.
So that is where, you know, few of his habits, what I wanted to speak about, first and foremost, Quran. He was a lover of the Quran. He loved the Quran, and up to the time he passed away, every morning he should read 5 paragraphs. Every day was our failure.
Subhanallah.
Every day. And I think that Quran possible because of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed it that amongst his children, Mawlana Jalil is the Hafiz al-Quran, myself too, and likewise from the grandchildren, my 2 sons are also Hafizes, and my 2 daughters are also Hafizes, and my brother Yusuf's daughter also is a Hafiza.
Subhanallah.
The Quran is, alhamdulillah, one inheritance which we are receiving, and I think it's all the barakat of my father, because he used to love the Quran, and he used to recite the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing that the Quran is remaining in the progeny. So, alhamdulillah, that is one great gift from my father. Another thing which I have learned from him a lot is time. If he promises you he's going to come at 9 o'clock, he'll never be 9:05 there. He will be a few minutes before 9, he will be standing there. First he learned from Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib. You see, Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib, rahimullah, used to, when he was invited or something, he used to be there 2 minutes before the time. And then he used to wait by the door, and when it's exactly the time, then he used to knock at the door.
Subhanallah.
So this is my father's one great habit is was time. When he promised someone any time, he used to be present there. And that was one great one habit which he learned from Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib. And now, possible from Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib, he was very independent. He didn't like to take the help from anyone, even it might be his children. He didn't take, you know, he should travel to Durban now and then for holiday. Then the children, my brothers used to say, okay, we'll drive you down and we'll fly back. He never ever accepted this offer. He used to drive himself. He'd rather drive a little way, stop a little while, rest a little while, and then continue. Up to here that we're in the ending, we used to tell him to come for Umrah. He used to say, no, he doesn't want to come for Umrah. Why? The reason is he says he can't manage. And we say we'll push him on a wheelchair, he rejected. We told him we'll put him on a wheelchair that has a battery and all that, that can operate on its own. He says, no, I don't want to be dependent on anyone. This was one thing he was being asked, you know, he just didn't want to take help. Even up to the right ending, when he was very, very ill, when he passed away, when they took him to the hospital, he had a major heart attack, but he walked till the staircase himself.
Allah.
You know, from here, it's a bit of a walk, that little walk. Also, he did it himself till he could not go down the stairs. Then they put a chair and they took him down. But he was very, very, very independent. Even if someone wanted to just book a holiday or something for him, he never used to take. He used to say, no, take whatever it is. You can charge me cost whatever it is, but don't. He would never accept anyone just to give him a gift. He was very, very independent. So we learned a lot from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him in abundance. And I think the greatest virtue he received was for khidmat of Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib and the khidmat of the Asatira. Because he was, even when he was there to Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madni, rahimullah, he and Mawlana Asad Madni, rahimullah, they were about the same age. So they were close friends. And they used to be khidmat. So then this is where you get the dua of the Kabirin. This is actually the main thing is all the dua of the Kabirin. He was gifted and really, really I say he was really gifted, because what he received from the Asatira, from his shuyukh, even once he was walking and Maulana Badr Anam Sahib Rahimullah was going past by the Hujra where the Rose Mubarak is, and at that time they were repairing something, and he lifted his kurta and they put few stones in Maulana Badr Alam Sahib's kurta, and he was next to him, so he also lifted his kurta. They also gave him few stones from the Hujra Sharif. That means from the Hajj Sharif, they were repairing that time.
Allah.
The skin freeze all the time, they were repairing. And he even got that. So, alhamdulillah, one thing he, with the Akabirin, he got the du'as. He got the du'as. Maulana Badr Alam Sahib loved him up to a year. That when I remember going for Hajj the first time, I went to go meet Maulana Badr Alam Sahib's children, Maulana Aftab Sahib, and they used to say that our father spoke very highly, and our father said that whenever Hafiz Ibrahim comes to Medina, we must invite him. We must entertain him. So when we used to go, they used to entertain us even very, very well. So this is, and even the barakat is my granny, my father's mother. She also passed away in Medina Tul Munawwara. She is also buried in Jannatul Taqi. So, alhamdulillah, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon my father and upon our family is numerous, because my daddy was Maulana Bayezid Rahimullah's sister. They were brother and sister.
Right.
My daddy. And her father, he was known as Mahmoud Fakir. He was very, very pious. So possibly the piety all came from this side. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, great, great bounties upon this family that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed so much to my father, so much to my father, that it is really, we are honored to have him as a father. We were really honored to have him as a father, and he really showered great love towards us, and lot of honor, and he used to speak with very, and so much so, I remember whenever I was studying, and whenever I used to come back, my father never allowed me to push the trolley. He wants to push it. I said, but let me push. He said, no, I must push it for you. This is how much he valued the children when he studied Deen. And I was very fortunate that Maulana Jalil also completed Alim course and Hafiz course and did the Hikmat course. He was very, very happy. Very, very happy. Dua, make special dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this khidmat. And my father did a lot of khidmat. He served a lot of people, and a lot of people that were very poor that used to come to him, and he used to help them. He used to help them with money and everything also. And whenever there is some weak people, whenever someone that is helpless and all that used to come, then my father, although he used to be in front of others and he was very outspoken, but his heart was very soft. His heart was very, very soft. Many times he used to speak to me even, and many times he stole me many things, and he used to tear also, he used to cry also. So he had a soft heart, but alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed him a good family. I think we are quite a few brothers and grandchildren, many are hufaz and alims and alimas and everything. This is all the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which he has bestowed unto my father.
Well, I'm just coming to the end of the program, and perhaps the more emotional part of the program. You want to just give us the last few moments of your father's life when he had passed on, and what was some of the when he had passed on, and the janaza and things like that for us, Monana?
You know, Monana, when I heard he was very, very ill, I was in Swaziland.
Okay.
And then I drove down like a mess, but I reached here before he was still ill. I think let Maulana Jalil explain everything. As far as the janazah is concerned, I performed the janazah. He even used to tell the person who's going to drive the hearse. He met him before he passed away. He says, when you drive that hearse, make sure you drive fast. I got to reach my grave quickly.
SubhanAllah.
So, I think let Maulana Jalil explain exactly the whole thing, what had transpired. I think he'll give a better explanation.
Maulana Jalil, are you on air?
Ji.
Maulana, you want to give us the last part of it, and then from there, inshallah, we close the program?
Okay. And basically, my father was a heart patient for most of his life.
Right.
It's a family illness. Most of the Pandas have got it. We've got cholesterol, blood pressure, and sugar. Okay, all three.
Right.
And he used to take his medication for that. Like that, he was quite healthy. Not to say that he was helpless or anything.
Yeah.
Right. Just to give you an example, where we live, it's a flat, two floors up.
Right.
He used to walk up the stairs and down the stairs daily.
And he had
the energy. In fact, the day before he passed away, it was Friday. The day he took ill, that early morning, he came down the stairs. He came to the office where we were. There's a shop across the road. We know the people quite well, so he went and speak to them for a short while. And then he came back upstairs. Then he went for Jummah namaz. It was a Friday. So he went down for Jummah Salah. He came back after Salah. He had lunch with us. And after lunch, when he went to school, when he went to go and relax. Right. After a short while, he had some pain. My son was there, sitting next to him. So he told my son to hit his back, which is normally not usual because he wouldn't want anybody just to help him. That means the pain was quite severe.
Right.
Anyway, they phoned me, and when I went there to him to see what was wrong, he told me, no, he's got a very severe angina. I checked the pulse. I told him, take some medication. After a while, we told him, let's go to the doctor. Let's go and have everything checked. And he didn't really want to go. In fact, he made a joke at that time. He says, you know, my Nana Baba passed away on a Friday at 4 o'clock. And maybe I will also pass away at this time.
Allahu Akbar.
So he said, okay. But, you know what, maybe that would happen. But anyway, he went through that time. Finally, we convinced him that, you know what, you've got to go now to a hospital. Because after Isha, we took him to a hospital to get him checked. By then, they told him that no, that it was a severe heart attack, and now water is filling into the lungs. They sedated him for a while, and they had him in ICU. Then the doctor told us that because of the water in the lungs and the heart attack that is hit, the heart is now very, very weak. We need to either try and do a bypass or try and do an angioplasty.
All right.
So we can at least try and revive or resuscitate something.
Yes.
It's very risky. There isn't a very good chance, but that is the only chance, because if we're going to leave it like this, the organs are going to continue failing. And ultimately, the progression of the illness is going to take place.
Sí.
Right. So we were given a chance to go and read in the ICU by next to him. The doctor then decided on going for an angiogram first. While he was there, while he was on the table, the doctor seen that all the vitals were dropping, and now this was Saturday morning already. My brother Yusuf and I were there at the hospital. My mother had just left. My aunties were there. My sister Fatma was also there. Anyway, the doctor called the two men in. He says, he doesn't want any ladies in the theater. He called the two of us. He says, look here, it doesn't look too good. There's a few moments left. Come and read whatever you have to read. Anyway, the two of us went. We made the Qur'an of the Kalima. And then we were holding his hands. We said we were reading. We started reading Yasin. And as my brother Maulana says, that, you know, they love the love of the Quran. You could see, because at that time, what had happened was that
we can understand, Mona. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Mona, it was a fascinating program that we learned of your father. We've come out of time, but inshallah at another time, hopefully maybe we can do this again, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Mona Jalila, Mona Ismail, Jazakallah for your time this evening.
Can you also request a small request?
Sure, Mona.
Whoever is there, tell him to read three times, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and send it to him.
Definitely, inshallah, Mona.
Jazakallah.
We request that one and all, those that know and those that don't know, read for our the person we're profiling, Hafiz Ibrahim Pandor, and all marhumins, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, three times, and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for anyone that has lost a parent, a family, or a close member. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all, inshallah. Next week we will see you again, once again, on Ulama Profile. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.